You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
This is so exciting. We're going to go to the CPAC and hear Benjamin Watson, former NFL player, a man of God, a great father, just a great citizen of America, a leader, I believe, a light leader in regards to leading the right way for America. Just an amazing man. Speaking at CPAC on family and God, so much more. As a matter of fact, let's join him there.
Yes, I am the father of five. I was talking earlier about our kids. So we started off, we got married in 2005. We were married for 3 years and said, you know what, let's start doing this kid thing. And then we had four kids in 4.5 years. Pray for us. Took a little time out. And then we had our baby girl, Eden. And now we are having twin boys, identical twin boys, coming in April. So pray for us. Definitely pray for us. Family, however, is important to me, obviously. And anytime I can come and talk about family and the importance of family in our society is important. I was reading a recent report that was talking about family and having kids, and it said that right now in the United States, we are not replacing ourselves. Now, there are various reasons for that. Obviously, some of those are external pressures. Some of them come because more parents are working. Some of it comes from pressure from society and maybe the outlook that people have on kids, that they are not the blessing that they are. But right now, we need 2.1 kids to replace ourselves, and right now we're at 1.7. We are dying as a culture, and that needs to change, but it only changes when people understand the importance of family. The psalmist in Psalm 127, 3-5 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children in one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with the enemies at the gate." I love that. I love that vision of arrows. Children are like weapons. They are. Children are like weapons that we pull out and that we shoot into culture. Think about the effect that we have when we raise our children the correct way, when we instill values into them. They change culture. I talk to my father, I'm the oldest of six kids, and I talk to my father a lot of times about what it was like raising all of us and being in a crazy household, because my household's about to be crazier with seven. And he looks proudly, him and my mother look proudly and say, you know what, y'all are going places that I never went because of what they instilled in us. Because they took their job that God gave them when it came to family seriously, poured into their children, and now their children are going around the world. My siblings are around the world doing great things for the Lord, but also great things for humanity, because they took the time to pour into them those years. If you have children, I see grandparents in here. If you have grandchildren, pour into them. Children are a blessing, while society would tell you that they're not. Family is a gift ordained by our Creator. It should be cherished, not mocked. Upheld, not ridiculed. Kept together, not torn apart. So much of what we see today is tearing us apart. It's tearing families apart. We see mother turned against father. We see sister turned against brother. We see parents turned against their children because of outside influences. That verse in Psalm says that the family is a gift. Secondly, family is the most important and powerful weapon when it comes to changing culture. We mentioned my book, Under Our Skin. And Under Our Skin, I talk about race. I talk about the fact that we need to have real and candid conversations. Every time we turn on the news, there's something racially motivated going on. We need to be willing to talk about those things. The living room is as important as the courtroom when it comes to making change. What are the conversations that we have surrounding this topic in our living rooms? Makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? What are the faces or the expressions or the things that your children or grandchildren hear you say when issues of race come up on the television, when there are things that we don't understand? I look at my kids, they're absorbing everything that I do. And a lot of times I have to apologize for making a face about something that I shouldn't. But as parents, that's our job. The living room is teaching them how to think, how to be compassionate, how to be kind, and how to be loving, how to fight for the oppressed, and how to fight for justice. All those things are taught not at the university, not outside on our teams, not at our schools. They are taught in the home. The home is where we train them up, where we teach them to care about other people. As a nation, I would say that the strength of our families will ensure our future, or it will condemn it. When it comes to unity and solidarity, moving forward into the future, a lot of that depends on what happens in the family. We can't trust outside influences to train them. We need to be doing that in our homes. The abolitionist Frederick Douglass said, "The life of a nation is secure only while the nation is honest, truthful, and virtuous." Families pass on honesty, truth, and virtues needed for healthy interpersonal relationships as well as community relationships. All that stuff starts in the home. And our nation will only survive if honesty, truth, and virtues remain paramount. That's how it's going to survive. The fighting, the bickering, there's always going to be some of that. We all have different views. We all come from different places. You know, we all have different worldviews, and that's okay. It's okay to be different. It's okay to have different perspectives. But there are certain things that need to be held paramount for this country to continue to succeed. Honesty, truth, and virtues. We need to all be able to come together for that. And if the truth is not what you think it is, you need to be willing to say it's not what I thought it was and move to the other side. That's okay. Because winning the argument can't be our only reason for getting involved as conservatives, liberals, involved in the conversation. It can't just be about winning. It has to be about what is true, what is honest, what is virtuous. One thing that's really important to me as a father is the issue of fatherlessness. We have somewhat of an epidemic, I would say, across the board in this country. According to some statistics, more than one out of four children live without a father in the home. Not a father, period. Not just biological, but maybe not an uncle, not a father figure, but not a father, period, in the home. That's 19 million children in the United States live. Maybe you lived without one. And it's not to say that you can't be successful, but all studies point to the fact that many social ills would be eradicated if fathers, if men, would do what we were called to be what we were called to be and do what we were called to do. Kids are four times more likely to be in poverty if they don't have a dad. Seven times more likely to get pregnant as teenagers. And I've got three girls, so this is important to me. They're two times more likely to drop out of high school. They're more likely to deal with abuse emotionally, physically, if they don't have a father that is leading their household. So men that are listening, young men, older men, if you're an older guy, challenge the young men. One thing I love about being in a locker room for the last 15 years as a pro football player is the fact that I'm in a locker room with so many different guys from all over the place. And one thing we're able to do is we have these tough conversations, but one thing as you get older in the league, which I'm like the old guy in the league, they come to me and say, "What was it like back with the leather helmets? You know, what was it like?" Like, dude, calm down. Like, I'm not that old. Calm down, you know. I was playing with you on Madden when I was in sixth grade. Okay, all right, okay. But one thing I love about being in the locker room is that I'm able to challenge. I'm able to challenge men that whether they had a dad or not, they have an opportunity to break the cycle. They have what it takes. And not only do they have what it takes, we need them to step up, not just for their family, but for the collective. And so this idea of manhood and fatherlessness, look, we all have different challenges. And as we unpack it, there are reasons for dads being absent sometimes. But we also all have a personal responsibility that we have an opportunity to decide how we are going to affect the next generation.
This is so powerful. Listen, I don't know if you're out there right now and you're living in a situation where you don't have a father in your life or a father figure in your life. Listen, the Lord knows He's the Father to the fatherless. And we had you can go to nextstepoutback.org and you can see some of our experiences for 10 years. You know, we're part of a prophecy, that's right, being able to deliver that. It's amazing what Benjamin Watson is doing, what he's delivering. I mean, he is a now messenger.
He's singing our song, isn't he?
He is definitely singing the right song, and we're just so encouraged by him. You know, what are your thoughts about Benjamin Watson standing up? Yeah, he's finished his career with the NFL, but now he's standing up boldly, you know, for truth, for family, for God. It's just so encouraging. You know, share your thoughts. If you were talking to Benjamin Watson right now, what would you say? Comment below. Share those thoughts. We're going right back to CPAC to hear Benjamin Watson continue to share the message that was on his heart for America and America's families. Let's go there now.
One thing someone challenged me to do a while ago was to have some sort of family mission. And I don't know if you've done that before. I've thought about it. We don't have anything like written out. We don't have like a preamble or anything written out for our family. But we do have in our living room, we have a sign that my wife got, and she put it up over the fireplace. And it's just this cool little art piece of artwork that says Micah 6:8 on it. Many of you know Micah 6:8. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy," or some translations say kindness, "and to walk humbly with your God." That's kind of our family mission. When I think about what I want my family to be known for, when I think about what I want to be known for, yes, I want to play great football, but people are going to forget about that. But if you're someone or a family or a group of people, a university, a country that stands for justice, that stands for mercy and kindness, and that walks humbly with your God, people will remember that. Because the things that you do will flow out of that, and you will not only win people, you will change the trajectory of their life. As Americans united by so much we have in common, what does this really look like for us? So what does that look like for us? Walking justly, loving mercy and kindness, being humble before God. How can families address the issues that divide us when it comes to this? Well, the first thing for our children is to model this as parents. We need to be people who correct and challenge ideals, systems, prejudices, biases that are wrong. We need to be willing to identify things for what they are and have the courage to stand for what is right and the courage to give people their just due. Justice is uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes it will take you stepping out of your group because our groups sometimes are going the wrong direction. We know they are, but we don't have the courage to step outside of it. We need to be people who are willing to act justly and correct these things. Secondly, we need to be people who are kind. We need to respect each other's humanity. As I go back to that first verse I read in Psalms, we are created in the image of God. We are all image bearers, whether we wear blue or red, whether we are black or white, whether we are poor or very wealthy. We need to have a common respect for all humanity because we're image bearers of Him. Thirdly, humility is not weakness. I say that as a football player. Humility is not weakness, but it is posturing yourself in a way to understand that it's not all about you. You are not the most important thing or the most important person. As a matter of fact, somebody else has equal value to you no matter what their occupation is. Humility before God makes you humble before other people. It opens lines of communication. When I come at you in a way that is hostile, even though I may be right, you don't want to hear anything I have to say. But if I come to you in a way that is humble, those lines of communication are open. I think that's vitally important for us as we try to be change makers when it comes to truth and virtues and the things of God in our culture. How we say what we say is as important as what we say. Some of the issues that we're dealing with, and we mentioned them already, that we need to deal with justice, mercy, and humility, is racism in our culture. It is not just a thing of the past. Its legacy is alive and well today. And I was having this conversation with a good friend of mine not too long ago, a couple days ago, and we were talking about the idea of color blindness. And I said, you know what? It's not about color blindness. It is about embracing all of our differences, celebrating them, but realizing that my difference is not better than yours. My difference is not more important than yours. Actually, we celebrate our differences because God created us that way. We celebrate the fact that we come from different places, we look differently, we have different tastes, all those things. We have different customs. And mine is not better than yours, it's just different. That's what it means to address racism in a way with truth, mercy, and humility. Secondly, another big issue that we've talked about a little bit is sanctity of life, abortion. I watched in horror, as many of you did, as New York legislators cheered like they were at the Super Bowl when the bill passed to allow death up until birth, up and through birth. I watched that in horror 60 million have passed away since Roe v. Wade. 60 million have been killed since Roe v. Wade. Just this week, there was a bill that did not pass that will protect those children at that vital point of entry into the world. I believe that we cannot be distracted by this extreme, although it's very, very important. I believe that we always have to steer to the truth that life begins at conception. And as such, we need to defend it that way. It's very easy. It's very easy. And we should be in an uproar about this. But don't allow that to distract us from the truth that life begins at conception, and it is important all the way through gestation, all the way until death. We need to be pro-whole life people. Many times they say we're pro-life, but we don't care about people. No, we need to be pro-whole life people. We need to be people that stand for people when they're conceived and they're this big, all the way until they leave this earth. That's what it means truly to be pro-life. Another issue of life is the sex trafficking. My wife and I have been really involved with that lately. And there are 2 million children in the global sex trade, 2 million minors that are traded and exploited for sex in the United States as well as around the world. These young men and young women are voiceless. What voice has God given you to stand in the gap for them? Not just for abortion, but also for this issue. I have a friend that says that justice issue is a seamless garment. We don't have to just stand for one issue. We can multitask. I'm looking at you all. I think you guys can multitask. We can be people who stand for multiple issues because they all fall under the issue of justice. Poverty is another issue that we need to enter with truth and humility and virtue. We go around New Orleans a lot of times and we see people, and one thing that my wife and I love to do is we like to do different events with our foundation, but we always want our kids to be involved. We always want them to see what's happening. And one thing that they do, it was my wife's idea, is we have these little bags that we, you know, give to people. It has a bunch of, you know, essentials in there, maybe to help them through the night or through the week or whatever it may be. And the point is not just to do something nice, but the point is to show them that they are to be a conduit of blessing. They receive, it's their job to pass out to others. We want them to see that they have an ability, like we talked about the arrows, to change the life of somebody else. Another issue that's very tough in our culture right now is sexuality. The lines have been blurred. When it comes to God's best for us, one man, one woman, in the context of marriage for life, that's what he ordained for us. We need to be people who, although we may have had missteps at times, we need to be people that steer culture back to what he has for us. We need to be people that want to get in the driver's seat and pull it back. Don't allow yourself to be people of relativism. Don't allow yourself to be people who compromise. Even though it's not popular, speak into the culture that this is what we know is right. And although we all fall short, this is the standard that is set, and this is what we want to steer ourselves and hold ourselves accountable to. Another issue, religious freedom. I remember a couple years ago when Coach Kennedy up there at Bremerton High School, he was praying with his players, and he was fired. I remember when Jack Phillips had the whole uproar about the cake. Religious freedom is something that we hold dear and something that we have to continue to fight for. All these issues I mentioned, though, we don't get anywhere as believers, as families, as mothers, fathers, as conservatives, if we don't enter into the conversation, just like the verse of Micah said, with justice, with mercy, and with humility. Lastly, in March of 1865, about a month before he was assassinated, President Abraham Lincoln said he was trying to bring the country back together after a bloody, bloody civil war, a war that divided families, a war that divided the nation, and he was charged with the job of bringing the country together after such a huge split. And in a speech he says, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with our nations. My challenge to you all is to be people who are willing to bind up the nation.
That's so powerful. Benjamin Watson, he is a leader and a future leader, I believe, in America for family, just standing up for just right. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
You know, not the right, just for a righteous talk, you know, of a stand and for family. And he's walking it out, right?
I think he's a great example of a person who's used their platform for the right thing. And it encourages me, I hope it encourages you, because God's given you a platform at your workplace, in your community, at your church, wherever you live, to speak on truth. His truth was talking about family, talking about, you know, America, talking about coming together and discussing different opinions, but having a dialogue respectful so that we can find solutions. And I just love that. I thought he was incredibly strong.
It's very good. It's very good. Well, you know, I think about, you know, right now where you are and how it's getting really confusing right now about family. And it's just all over the place. It's just all over the place. But if you go back to the roots, I mean, where did we all come from? What was our history? You know, where were we? What were we founded out of? And there's one thing that's been around since the beginning of time. It's family. Family's been around. I don't care what culture you're in, what country you're in, what part of the world you came from. You had family around you. And out of that, you know, the fact that a mother and a father come together and they get married and they have some sort of nuptials, you know, depending on where they are in their culture, and they come together out of love, and then they have children and they raise them in the context of that. You eat together, you work together. I think one of the big issues that's happened in life, and the last thing that's probably happened a lot of times, is working together. Everybody's kind of living a separate life. And then
they eat together.
Yeah. Eat together, pray together, family prays together, stays together. And it's just like Benjamin Watson said, people are speaking, you know, negative and bad things about the very things we have to value. Value family, value our children, that you know, we're not having enough children to save our nation in regards to how many people we need to be birthed, like 2.5. We talked about that quite some time
2.1.
back. 2.1. And it won't happen again until we start saying, you know, God's way is right. It's about family. You know, celebrating that fact of coming together and raising up children. People are ending the life of their child. They're ending the life of their child before the child takes their first breath because they don't want to be inconvenienced by the fact of having to raise a child. They're thinking that that's a negative thing.
Yeah, children are not a burden. They're a blessing.
They're a blessing. They're totally a blessing in that it's a good thing. I mean, if that's all you get to do, it's the hand that rocks the cradle. Rules the world. I mean,
that's
so important when you think about that. So begin to pray. I want to encourage you, you know, if you've been kind of attacked in your emotions over that or you've been pulled all different directions, begin to pray and say, God, give me your heart again for family. You know, give me a contentment and a realization and a joy about having family and raising family and being a member of the family and not buying into all the lies and the things that are being told out there and not all the things that are trying to seduce us out of those places. And say, you know what? This is good.
If that's all you did was be a father, be a mother, you're successful. Because everything in this society is telling you to abandon that, to do something else. It's one of the greatest jobs you'll ever do in your life.
I'm going to encourage you as a father, stick, stay, and stand, even if it stinks. Because in the long run, it's going to pay off. They might not be recognizing you now, but they will recognize you for a long time. Remember, if you look at stats, they're blaming you for everything. You might as well hang around and get the credit for
it, right?
Well, listen, I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience. I just speak a blessing over that. I speak a blessing over Benjamin Watson and his family, God. We thank you for his righteous voice. And God, we ask you, dear God, end the abortion of family.
Yes.
End the abortion of children. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God. Love others and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation light.